King's Kids. Got some of them already down there, I think. If you're in second grade on down, you are dismissed with Miss Jerrica today. A little junior church for you. You want to do this, Cameron? You want to play with fire in church? All right, you got to push that button for safety with your thumb and then pull the trigger, right?
Okay.
That one first. This season, we lit some candles, the first. There you go, good job. Now go to that one. We're trying to remind you. Now this one. The other purple one. Now the center. Good job. Hope. Christ is our hope in a dark world. This one? Faith. Without God, we have no faith. We have nothing to put our faith in. The rose-colored candle. Joy. Not a temporary happiness, but an eternal welling up the joy of the Lord within, which is His work in you, not something you can manufacture or buy. This candle? Peace. A peace that passes all worldly understanding. Again, something from above that we receive as a gift that cannot be manufactured, purchased, or forced on anyone else. And Christmas Eve, we lit the Christ candle, the tallest, the brightest, the purest, the whitest, as a reminder that everything we have needs to be centered on Him, focused on Him. And I'm throwing you a curveball today. You can take your bulletin notes. I'm going to save those. I got one slide for you today. As I was having breakfast, it's kind of the end of the year. I just want to say thanks. Thank you. Thank you. So many anonymous cards and gifts and goodies. My pants are a little tighter this week, thanks to most of you. Thank you. On behalf of Shelby and my family and his family, thank you for your generosity. And we don't even know who to thank sometimes because you're so sneaky about it. Like, I think everybody has the key to my office or something. So, thank you. But for more than that, for more than the last couple of weeks, for more than a part of the year, thank you for this whole year. What a year. We gained wonderful new families. A year we expected to go in the hole. I'm working on the budget for next year, and we didn't go in the hole. We planned on going in the hole. We kind of went a little bit in the hole because we spent a huge chunk of money re-roofing 2/3 of the church, but that was money that we already had. We don't borrow. We don't go into debt. We have a lot of cheerful givers. And to you I say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving. Some give out of habit, some get out of duty, but many of you give out of joy to the Lord, and it shows. Thank you for our Christmas offering. This has been the largest Christmas offering we've had in about a decade. And a season and a year and a cycle of our country when a lot of people are down, you've given and we've been giving. And I can't outgive you. Every week we've been getting more money, and it's hard to outgive you. So we're going to have extra. We're just going to put it into benevolence and earmark that to give it away next year. We're going to meet with the officers in January, and we're going to see if there are any needs to meet, any more cars to fix, any more toilets that need replacing. I walk into Lowe's now, they're like, you need another toilet? Yes. And where are those? Yeah, exactly. This has been great. This has been fun. It is fun to give away other people's money. Keep it up. So thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your willingness to serve. Thank you for the Christmas Eve service. That was way more people than I was expecting. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for inviting. Thank you for singing. Thank you, Shelby, for leading. I had a great time just walking by like a normal guy. I'm not the normal guy. That's a blessing. Sometimes that's the curse. But it was nice. It's good to sing. It's good to fellowship. It was good to see people take time out of their busy lives and worship. Thank you. What a gracious year. A year of grace. And that's really who we want to be, isn't it? Isn't that our name? Graceway? Many of you captured the spirit of our name last year. Bruce, you picked a good name. When we rebranded, we went with Bruce Roberts and said, give us a good one. And I was like, I had three or four written down. I was like, you win. Graceway, who we want to be. And that's hard to live up to. When God is your model of grace, that's hard to live up to. But God was gracious to us all year long. Man, your families have been through the ringer. Some of your health still going through the ringer. We're still waiting to get back results. We're still waiting to see if your stents hold up. Can you still see me, Roy? Good. It's working. Last week, our church welcomed a new baby, Nicholas. Nicholas, what's his middle name? Nicholas James Traynor was born to Kayla and Tabor, and they sit over here. And we've got news of a new baby coming in the next few months, too. And in the same week, we have to bury a saint. Isn't that life? Ups and downs. That is all of life. That's going to be next year. Don't let it take you by surprise. It's going to have its ups and its downs. It's going to be both. Can you find a way to thank God for his grace when it doesn't go the way you want it to go? That's what it means to live by faith. That's what it means to have him as your hope all the time, 52 weeks. That's what it means to find peace, even if you lose your job next year, even if you don't like the next letter that comes in the mail. Your property taxes are going up. Your insurance rates are going up. Your medical coverage is going up. The world takes. Poo-hoo! It is a really good thing you have a God who gives and gives and gives and gives. And nobody can take him from you. Graceway, live up to that this year. You did last year, do it again. Be that kind of people who have a way about them. When people get to know you, can put their finger on it and say, gracious, kind, generous, forgiving. Graceway Baptist, we're going to focus on the Bible. There are going to be many things about us that are very Baptist and distinctive. Some of those things are going to vary widely depending on which Baptist church you're talking about. In this church, we want it to be the fact that we are committed to a core of doctrinal beliefs that we preach through this year in our affirmation of faith. Not from the perspective of we are just a people of the Word, but we are a people who let the Word scrutinize, examine us, that it goes both ways. And as much time as we pour into God, we allow God also to pour into us. And he's got a lot to change in you. A lot to change. You got a lot to change. I'm looking around trying to share the conviction here. You got a lot to change. He has a lot to teach you. But it's that last word, church. It took on a lot of meaning for a lot of you last year. The number one thing I heard people praise in our many ministries last year were our grace groups. Meeting together in small groups of people to reflect on the weekly sermon or message and share life together and be the church. Not just show up for church, but be the church to each other, meeting each other's needs, listening to each other's stories, being a called out, chosen assembly of people who are focused on Jesus. That'll change you. That'll challenge you. It's going to make you uncomfortable. You need that. God is slowly hammering away at each one of us and chiseling away that which he knows is not profitable. And then he adds and smooths and sands and sculpts you into the image of his son. We need that. It's going to hurt. Ugh, but it's going to be worth it. On this earth, in this life right now that you have, this is as far away from God as you will ever be. This is the worst you will ever suffer. If you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, it only gets better. Man, is it lonely sometimes. And the tears will flow, and the knees will give out, and the heads will go bald, and the hairs will turn gray. But those are light and momentary afflictions. Reminders that we are humans. Grab your Bible and open to the book of Romans. We close out the year. I was struck by the fact that, well, first of all, Paul can't shut up. I feel his pain. Romans is like this letter that just goes on and on. And I find these little nuggets where it looks like he's winding up, but he's not. We call these benedictions, maybe, or a doxology. And we've used several of these through the year. Turn to Romans chapter 8. The end of Romans 8 looks like he's winding up the book. And he could have stopped. Romans could have just been 8 chapters long, and he could have ended it here in Romans 8, 39. This would still be a monumental, awesome book. So it looks like he's finishing, but it's 8, and there are more to go. Turns out he's only like halfway done. But I want to read to you Romans 8, 31 through 39. Wrapping up the year, looking forward to the next year. What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And there's nobody who can answer that. If God is for us, who in the world in their right mind would ever try to be against us? Here's why it's ludicrous. Verse 32. He, God, who did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with Jesus graciously give us all things. God is gracious. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. We don't justify ourselves by what we do. God justifies us by grace through faith. Verse 34, who is there who can condemn us? No one. Why? Christ Jesus is the one who died, and more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Danger? Sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all of these sufferings, persecutions, and pains, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us, you and other believers, us. Nothing can separate us living together, praying together, giving together, serving together, us. You are not alone. Us. Nothing can separate us. Who have you locked arms with, covenanted to pray for, covenanted to support with your prayers and with your giving? Who have you covenanted to be the us in your life? As for me and my house, it is Graceway Baptist Church. You need to have an us. Because when you have an us, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm really thankful Paul didn't just say me. And he could have. This could have been his personal prayer. Could have been a glimpse into the heart of a faithful man, sold out, dedicated, consecrated to the work of God in his life. We have a lot of those, men and women. But this verse is for us. 2021 was great. Hard, but great. We have grown and thrived. We are not done yet. We have not arrived. Join us. God is holy. You are not. And you need help. God sent Jesus to bridge the gap between you and the Father. And He expects you to respond. First, you have to respond personally. You, individually, have to say, Jesus, I am giving you my life. I can't fix myself. And by faith, you trust what Jesus has already done for you. You trust not only that Christmas was real, you trust Easter was real. Yeah, we just began Lent. Here comes Easter. From one great holiday to another. But God expects you to respond personally. And then I think He still expects all of us to respond That's why he uses the analogy of the bride and the body and the family and the building of many stones. We are to respond together. Join us. Join us. But Paul wasn't done. He wanted to stop there, or maybe he didn't. Maybe he just burst out into Romans 8, 31 through 39. And then he gathered himself and he continued writing Romans 9 and 10. But turn to chapter 11, Romans 11, verse 33. Here comes another explosion of praise. Exclamation of gratitude, gratefulness. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given a gift to him that he might be repaid? From him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Amen. This is what I need next year. I need to experience more depth in the riches, the wisdom, and knowledge of God. I need to spend time searching his unsearchable judgments. It doesn't mean you can't search for them. It just means you're never going to hit the end. He still calls you to search the unsearchable. The point is not that you shouldn't search. The point is you're never going to exhaust the resources, the person, the character of God. Keep looking. Keep digging for the mind of the Lord, for the counsel of the Lord, for the gifts of the Lord. And remember this, he's not repaying you for being good. It's all grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. One more. Turn to Romans 15. Ah, now we're getting to the end. And even then, he has to throw in chapter 16 to say hello to all of his friends. But in Romans 15, we're going to look at verses 5, 6, and 13. Romans 15, 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another. Verse 6, that together. We're better together. We're better with one another. There are so many things you can go home and read and study and learn about God by yourself, but there are more you can learn from one another. More. In other words, you, when you practice the one another's, you get more of God than you could ever get on your own. I'm preaching to the choir. I think you, most of you, believe that, or else you wouldn't be here. So I'm not chastising you. I'm just gently reminding you, keep it up. Keep doing that which you know to do. That which is good for your family, for your soul, the one another's. Verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. There's the word faith. All four of the candles there. Hope, joy, peace, believing, faith. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. The last thing I want to give you is that last line. By the power of the Holy Spirit next year. That's how you're supposed to live. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have your Christmas shopping done on time. You don't even have to get the right gifts. It's not about you. It's about living in the power of the Holy Spirit next year, so that you may abound, not in wealth, not in health, not in prosperity, but in something that goes beyond this life, something that will be incorruptible, hidden within you, untouchable, and strong when you are weak, that you may abound in hope. And what did we learn about hope this year? It is a confident expectation in something that is absolutely sure to happen. It is not cheesy, wishful thinking. It is a confidence. My hope is in Christ, because my hope is Christ. With that in your pocket today, you are ready for next year. You're ready. You have everything you need. You have no excuses. None. To be lazy, to sit back. None. You have no excuses to not make next year the greatest year of your life. None. So I'm not giving you any. And if I seem harsh enough, I'm not cutting you any slack either. Yes, we're going to have some funerals. We're going to lose loved ones. Yes, relationships are going to go sideways. Yes, people are going to sin. Yes, some of those same old addictions are going to rear their ugly heads and darken our lives. But Jesus will burn brighter. He'll give us hope. He'll give us what we need to make it to the next step of faithfulness and obedience. He will give us all that we need. Keep that. Cherish that. Respect that. Share that. Are you thankful for last year? Even though? I saw one of these. Yes, I am. Okay. Well, if you're alive today, you should be very thankful for last year. Yeah. Chew on that, though. And decide to be thankful. Read your Bible this year. And look. Look for people who worship God in the middle of disasters. You won't stop seeing it. Because all of life is a disaster. Anybody who ever worships God is worshiping out of a dark place. Even King David, when he's writing these beautiful psalms, like, oh, we just can't get around the fact that he's a murderous, lying, covetous adulterer who's a man of blood. Like, whoa, if there's hope for him, yeah, there's hope for you. There's hope. There's peace. There's joy. There's faith. So from me, my family, from Shelby, and from his family, we say thank you for a great year. We appreciate you. And thank you for those of you who are visitors and out of town for putting up with your family members who go to church here. That is really special. Woo! Because you're forced into this. And hey, for those of you who have kids that you bring to church, teenagers and under, grab your kid today or right now and tell them thank you for coming. They don't really have a choice. Thank you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for not making our lives miserable while we're at church. You know, Babies slowly learn to stop crying when you drop them off in the nursery. That just, it happens. They learn to run out the doors with joy to go to King's Kids. And some of the adults learn to stop crying when they come to church too. That just, you know, they need a little, it all happens. I want to end with a time of prayer, thanking God for the many things that he has blessed us with last year, but also looking forward to the many things that he wants to bless you with next year. He says to ask and to seek and to knock regularly and repeatedly for the things that we are moved by and the people that we care about. So settle yourself for just a minute. My Christmas present to you is we're getting out a lot earlier than usual, so be grateful for that, right? No matter how long I pray now, we're good, right? You're like, yes, I'm getting to the buffet a little earlier than normal. This is Merry Christmas. Woo! Yes. So don't overlook that, all right? So as we move into a time of prayer, without any music, stay with your family, Dave. Stay with your family for a few minutes. Think deeply. Close your eyes. If you need to come to the altar, do it. If you're really deeply troubled by something, bring it forward this morning. Leave it at the feet of Jesus. Confess it. Stuff that has plagued you all year long, give it up today. If you've never been born again, but you want to, if you have questions that need answering, ask him. God is not afraid of your doubts or your questions. Talk to him about it. But you better shut your mouth and listen for when he answers. When you're all done, when you're at the end of yourself, when you've poured out everything you've got, that is not the time to say amen and walk away. That is the time to say, Lord, speak. And he does. He speaks through his word, and he'll remind you of scripture. He speaks through the comfort of the Holy Spirit, who can help you understand when to do things and when not to do things. God can speak through your circumstances. Nothing is random. He's in charge of it all. Even if you don't like it, he might be trying to tell you something. And he speaks through other Christians. So listen. Listen to what other people of faith would say. God, we come to you right now. Help us. To lay this year out in front of you and say thanks. Thank you for the babies. And thank you for the funerals. Thank you for when we were well, and thank you when we were sick. Thank you for helping us pay many bills. And help us, God, to not feel crushed by the bills to come. Thank you for all the deep relationships that fill us and comfort us and bring us joy. And thank you for the difficult people you have brought into our lives. Thank you for the people that make us uncomfortable. Thank you for the people even that make us cry. Thank you for the sunshine and the seasons. Thank you for the clothes that we wear, the games that we play, the cars that we drive. We have so much. You've given us so, so much. We open our hands to you today, God, and we say, what do you want us to do with it? How, God, can we keep receiving from you but also learn to give of our time? How can we learn to give grace? How can we be a forgiving people? When people take advantage of us, when people abuse us, how can we extend forgiveness? We can't. We can't without your help, God. We need you to remind us that you loved us when we were your enemies, that you forgave us when we were raging against you, that you sent your son to die for us when we didn't deserve it. And so we're asking simply that you give us the eyes of Christ and the heart of the Holy Spirit to love and to forgive lavishly, even if it doesn't feel great. We want to do it to honor your name, God. Be our Father. Help us to experience the fullness of your love in such a way that the fullness of your love would overflow in our lives and make us a people of grace. Who are not afraid of persecution, tribulation, famine, peril, or sword. Help us to be a people who are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. In this next year, God, teach us to pray. Teach us to meditate. And to slow down. Help us, God, to be comfortable in the silence of waiting on you. Help us to become a people that move slowly that move at the speed of grace. Free us this year from our addictions, from our habits and our hang-ups, from our attitudes. Everything we dislike about ourselves. And fill us, God,
we boldly come asking you, fill us this year. Over and over again.
Thank you for 2021. Help us to not look back too much, God. Help us look out the front window and move forward to do greater things, to head a new direction, and to spread some hope to new people. At school, help us to be the students we need to be, to maximize what you have given us with our minds and our abilities. That our students would learn to take care of themselves, but then have a heart to take care of others. God, watch over our professionals and the workplace, that they would have the boldness to pray for their coworkers when needed. That they would have the patience to not explode in anger and rage. And to not have digital boldness in their emails to say things they would never say to somebody's face. Protect us, God, from being like that. For the many, many moms that we have, God, show them the importance of serving you in every task, in every chore, with every responsibility, no matter how small. Remind them that they work for you by serving others. And God, thank you for our senior saints and their freedom, their generosity. Help them to be grandparents to all of us and to see that their lives can bless so, so many just by showing up. What a blessing. What an encouragement. Everybody take a deep breath with your eyes closed and say goodbye to all that was last year. And breathe in some fresh grace. God is giving all of us all that we need for the next year, and it is good. Because God is good. God, we commit our lives to you and the guidance and the power of your Spirit. May you watch over us and may you bless us. Amen.